Blog Talk Radio.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Well, greetings, brothers and sisters. This is your host, Kanya, on the Tree of Life show on Rainbow Soul. And I want to share with you a tremendous privilege that I feel tonight, because I am introducing to you, or actually sharing with you on the show tonight, the adventures of a super great man. And I've known him for over 50 years now. And I was just looking at his horoscope. He was born almost on the full moon, and it's almost the full moon tonight. So there's a lot of things that connect up. In any event, I'm talking about Dick Gregory, who I met back in 1959 or 60 or something like that. And he's on the air with us now. Hello, Brother Dick. How you doing?
Hello. God bless you, my brother. And all you listeners. And let me just first say I thank you for this type of show. You know, I've said for years, money is not power, education is not power, but information is power.
Right.
And if I give you bad information, you have bad power.
Exactly. So, I was just looking at your chart and seeing how much information I've gotten off of that in the recent years. As I mentioned to you before, you have an extremely heavy chart, you see, because you have the base of the pyramid on your chart. You know, the four cardinal signs of the universe and what the pyramid is based on, and the four cardinal signs are Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. And your sun is in Libra, and your moon is in Aries, and you've got Saturn in Capricorn at the top of the chart, and you've got Pluto in Cancer at the bottom of the chart. So you have a cosmic, shall we say, invitation to come to the earth and do some very, very heavy things.
What a blessing. I wish I'd have known everything you told me when I was in that ghetto back in St. Louis.
Right.
Old raggedy. I was born before housing projects, you know.
And, uh-huh.
No money, no nothing. Any time a rat was in my house, he was taking a shortcut. He wasn't coming there looking for no food.
I
would have known that, I could have stood on the corner, man, and let him know that we are all born universals. We're all born, and that's where the trick comes from, is when they can reduce you down to a neighborhood, then you stop being universal. And when they can control the way you feel about yourself, the way you feel about your parents, the way you feel about your country, and that's what white supremacy is about.
Right. And but one of the things that we all know is that everything happens right on time. So the fact is that each of us has two selves. We have a physical self, and then we have a divine self.
Sure.
You see? And so what happens when you're born, you're actually coming into picking up a continuation from your last life. So the talents that you have, you developed in your past life, and the challenges that you had were developed in your past life, too. And your mission in life is a continuation from your past life. So if I look at your chart, I can see that you have four very heavy signs there. Like I say, your moon and your rising sign is Aries, and that's a person that is the starter, a person that likes to initiate things and has tremendous power and tremendous energy and a tremendous conception of himself. And that sounds like you, and the key word for that is I am. Then the sun is in the sign of Libra. Libra is the sign of the balances, so that you have the capacity to balance things out and a tremendous hatred for unfairness. You like everything to be straight up and fair, and that's one of the reasons why you've devoted your life to helping the world get straightened out. And then at the top of your chart, which is your mission in life, is the sign of Capricorn. Capricorn is the sign of the person that takes care of serious business, likes things to manifest in the material world, ruled by Saturn, and Saturn is in Capricorn in your chart. So this means that you have the ability to conduct businesses and do fantastic 1,000 things at the same time. And at the same time, it's right opposite the sign of Pluto. Pluto is the sign of the regenerator, and it's in the sign of Cancer. Cancer is the sign of the psychic. I feel, you see. So you have all of that things going for you, and then perhaps now you can see why you've had to do all the various many things that you've done in your life.
Yeah, I can feel that. What a blessing.
Yeah.
What a blessing.
Yeah. Because you've got psychic powers as well as discrimination powers. Now, see, Virgo is the sign of a person that likes to analyze things. See,
mm-hmm.
That's me. But see, you have three planets in Virgo, Jupiter, Venus, and Neptune. So that means you have a strong desire. You don't believe nothing. You want to know. So as a matter of fact, that's what you've been doing all your life. And it was my privilege, if I can remember correctly, to introduce you to some books that caused you to remember some things. You remember those books back in 19, what was it about?
Do I ever. Yep, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking about the Hilton Hotema books.
Cool, Totema. Who a breatharian?
Yes.
First time I got hip to that. You don't have to eat on this planet. You don't have to do
right.
nothing. You don't have to drink. You just breathe.
Exactly.
And so yeah.
Oh boy.
Whole team.
Yeah, because one of the things that really blew my mind is when I met you, you were at a place called the Purple Onion or something like that in the North Beach section of. San Francisco, and you were.
No, I was playing when you met. I was playing across the street from the Purple Onion. I was playing at the the Hungry Eye. And
oh, you were at the Hungry Eye.
No, I went across the street at the Purple Onion when I finished my first show because Miles Davis was playing at the Purple Onion.
Ah, oh, I see. Because yeah. I remember the Purple Onion was down some steps.
Uh huh. Yes.
And. The Hungry Eye was across the street over there. Yeah, I remember that. That's very interesting. But the other funny thing about it, I remember you were weighing about 300 pounds back then, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, I was on my way up to 365. Yep, yep.
My Lord. And at the same time, I think your diet was, you were on a seafood diet at that time, wasn't it?
Whatever.
You ate
whatever.
Everything you could see.
Yeah, I love it. Well, you know, that's what happened when you come up. Believe in nutrition,
right?
Is whenever you ate, as long as it didn't run out till you got enough, that was good nutrition. If it ran out before, it was bad nutrition.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, you were so busy.
Well, you see, growing up as poor and having a hard time to get the food that you wanted when you were a young baby living in the public housing in St. Louis, that...
No, wait. No public, man. I'm 80 years old. Wasn't no public housing back then.
Oh, I see. Well, what did you call it then?
Huh?
We just
living in old raggedy, them old houses. That, let me tell you something. You know, they talk about the violence and public housing. And,
right.
And let me tell you something. When they built public housing, death in the wintertime for black folks, poor
yeah.
black folks, decreased
right.
by 50% because the houses would burn up. You were trying to stay warm. You had them old makeshift stoves in the house.
I hear you. I hear you. But the point I was making that you might have grown up hungry, and as a result, you had a desire to eat, make sure you didn't get hungry anymore. Maybe that's how you got to be 350 pounds.
No, I got to be 350 pounds because I was just eating. You see, let me tell you something. I never became 350 pounds, but I became a vegetarian.
Uh-huh.
See, I didn't know anything. I didn't know what vegetarian was. I just decided that when I saw a Mississippi sheriff kick my wife in the stomach, she was 9 months pregnant, and I made like I didn't do nothing because of nonviolence, but it was nonviolent. It was 357 Magnum in my house, so I wasn't. I was nonviolent when I was with the movement. But now, I mean, just to think about the black ministers and the black church and King and the whole nonviolent, I never thought I'd see today. I would say to you, anybody, I'd rather be killed by somebody than kill someone. You see, when I grew up, there was no such thing as TV. It was the movies. My hero was John Wayne. John Wayne said, if you right and they wrong and they don't listen, kill them, shoot them. That was my hero. And so consequently, that the movement, when you sit and you look at human beings, short, tall, poor, educated, uneducated, the only thing they had in common was their blackness. And that blackness was talking about freedom and the will to do things. And I didn't know that. And I just I come up was a great track star. And I thought that was all. Then I got in the band in high school, and then that changed my life because I didn't know when you hear the drum beat, that's your heart.
What high school did you go to?
Sumner High School in St. Louis.
Ah, Sumner, because my grandfather founded one of them high schools. I think he founded Vashon High School.
Vashon, yeah.
That was my great-grandfather, my mother's grandfather that started that school.
We had three black high schools, Vashon, Sumner, and Washington Tech.
I see. Okay, and then you got into, with all that energy from all that Aries vibration, you got into track. I believe you had the record for the half mile and the mile, right?
Yeah, when I left high school, I was the third fastest half mile in the nation.
Wow, that's heavy.
Yeah, I would never do it again. I had 10 children. Thank God they didn't go to that athletic thing. I didn't realize till I was a grown man that athletic is a violation of the universal order. Physical fitness is godliness and spiritualness. If you look at your professional athletes, the average professional athlete life expectancy is 54 years of age. Why don't live longer than that? You know?
I heard that. Hey, by the way, I remember, if I'm not mistaken, that you ran all the way from Los Angeles to New York City.
Yeah, it was 1976. I'll never forget. It was April the 21st. I left downtown City Hall in L.A.
Uh-huh.
And I arrived in downtown City Hall in New York on July the 4th, and I was
and I
running.
Met you as you ran across the bridge,
yep.
Right there at the George Washington Bridge.
Yeah, you remember they wasn't going to open up the bridge because it was Tall Ships Day, and President Ford was there, and the Secret Service, I said, no, when I ran, I said, you get in touch with somebody, and they called them, and I said, I ran from 3,300, and I got 50 miles. Finishing up my last 50, I'm going across the bridge. And it was interesting. Not only did they open up the bridge, the tall ships and Gerald Ford and all of them, they gave the honk, honk, honk. And then we went on into...
See, that bridge never closes, but they let you go across it because of all the traffic they were expecting to going across. That bridge doesn't raise. That was the George Washington Bridge you came across.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, but I'm saying no. I didn't say that. I said the Secret Service was keeping people off that bridge, so you couldn't throw nothing down.
Right. And you were running at the rate of 50 miles a day, if I'm not mistaken.
50 miles a day for 71 days to dramatize world and domestic hunger.
See, that's two marathons a day for 70 days. Now, that's really saying something. I said, this man's got to be some kind of a Superman because I can't even run one marathon, and you ran two marathons a day for 70 days. I take my hat off to you, brother.
Thank you, my brother.
Yes, sir. And if I remember correctly, then you met a woman in Chicago by the name of Dr. Avenia Fulton.
Fulton, yes.
Mm-hmm. And didn't she put you on a diet to get you down off of that 300 pounds?
No. What happened was she's the one that taught me how to fast.
Uh-huh.
You know, she taught me how to fast.
I meant a fast, yeah, a fast, right.
Yeah, and I went, I fasted 40 days, and she was the fasting genius. She told me every day what was going to happen for 40 days. She you'll get weak, and then at the time you'll get so much energy. And had she not told me that, I would have thought I was dying, because there's no way you can tell me I can go 30, 31 days without eating and then get this surge of energy that comes through. But no, she was the genius and a black woman.
Right, and she put that idea in your mind, because see, once you had that idea in your mind, then you could go on through it. Because when I fasted, I found out that after the first 3 days, you're not even hungry anymore.
That
blew my mind.
Yep, no, because the body starts cleansing, and then the body starts going into a different mold and a different. Once you go on a fast, you're like a hibernating bear.
Right.
And 85% of the energy you normally would use, you don't use.
Uh-huh.
Because the fasting, the body's purifying. When you're fasting, too, you're on nature's operating table.
Right. Didn't you also operate some kind of a retreat?
At a retreat down in
Barbados, where you were
down
helping
in,
people?
Yeah, we had two, one in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, and one in the Bahamas.
All right. And then didn't you have something like Dick Gregory's Bahamian Diet?
Bahamian Diet, yeah. It was,
right,
it was
because that's the first multi-level marketing company I got into, and we were making $10,000 within the first 6 weeks that we were in that
program. Yeah, everybody was telling me they was cleaning up. I was having fun, but.
Yeah, I know you were, because I remember you used to come in and give all those heavy lectures at the Whole Life Expo and stuff.
Yep.
And you also had a brand-new sports car that you were sporting out there.
That was the one that the system put together. That was the one that a friend of mine put together. And he said, come on, man, we're going to do this together. And got 100 miles per hour. But the trick was you couldn't get nobody to make it for you.
You mean 100 miles per gallon, right?
Per gallon, I'm sorry, 100 miles per gallon. Yeah.
What was the name of that?
Oh, we didn't have a name for it at that
time. Yeah, it was a beautiful little car.
It was beautiful. And so what we did is went to Japan, and they said they would make it because you couldn't get an American. Why would they make a car that would do 100 miles an hour? And so we went there, and here's what they told us. Oh, yes, we would love to do this. And so we said, but we got a 15-year waiting list. That's how far back.
Right. Whatever happened to that car, by the way? That never did.
Still sitting in the warehouse. If you can't get nobody to manufacture it, it ain't going nowhere.
Oh, my Lord.
Yep.
Yeah, because so many things, I was just reading in the book that there's over 6,000 different inventions that they don't want to let come on the market because they'll wipe out the whole system that we have now, greed and corruption.
Yeah, well, the whole thing is changing now. They won't be able to stop it now.
Exactly.
Because you know, you got a different mentality that I don't have to go to General Motors or to Chase Manhattan Bank. You know, that's what we're looking at when we're looking over the young soaker out there talking about take over Wall Street, you know.
Yeah.
Take back D.C., you know. And that movement's taking off around the world. What we're looking at like that is what we used to look at with rock groups and those huge entertainment groups that go around the world and just millions of people show up. Well, that's what this movement is fixing to turn into. You know, we had enough entertainment, we had enough fun, and now let's get here and talk about liberating the masses, starting with the women. With the women. And
I
see, that's some kind, you know, it's so hard to believe that I'm born through my mother's womb and yet still with a mentality that didn't care nothing about women. I didn't see anything wrong with a woman not being able to be a firefighter or not being able to be a cop. And thank God for the civil rights movement. When that legislation came through, it didn't say for Negroes only.
Right.
So everybody participated. So now you not only have women cops, you have women head police departments and homicide departments and drug enforcement. And I would make a prediction that 100 years from now, no later than 150 years from now, that about 80% of all your professional football will be women. Because, look, women's always stronger than men. When you think about a woman, man, here's a woman go to work, the husband go to work, the boys go to work, they all come home and sit on the porch and drink beer or talk stuff. She's in the house cooking.
By the way, that was a chapter in that book that you wrote, the introduction to survival in the 21st
century. Victor, yeah, Brother Vic.
Yeah, because they were talking in that book about women being the physiological superior of the men.
Yeah.
Because, see, men can't have children, and your wife Lillian had 10 children, so
yep.
she must have been heavy.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
hey, how are
I
your
think
kids?
That's what's fixing to happen next year. When we get into 2012, I think the flip is going to hit, and everybody thinks the planet's coming to an end. But the flip, the energy level, for 6,000 years, this planet's been ruled by darkness, which is men, and now it's going to be ruled by light, which is the woman. So it's going to be
oh,
fun.
Yeah. It's going to be a new ball game now. And I just learned that so many of the people, 80% of African Americans, have Indian blood in our veins, right? And
well,
you
got to remember the Dogons. That those are, you know, I hate to get into what I'm fixing to say now, but that North Star.
Yeah.
That's where we came from.
Okay.
I ain't going to argue with that.
Those
were the Dogons who walked over here.
Mm-hmm.
Walked over here. And that's
okay.
why the Hopis, which is the descendant of the Dogons, and
right.
that's why they've never been able to sign a treaty with the Hopis, because when the white folk put them in jail, they turn into pigeons or roaches and butterflies and just fly right out through the bars. But that's who we are.
You know if you have any actual Indian blood in your veins? You know what tribe?
Well, if it is, it's Blackfoot every time I look at my feet.
I see, because I had a brother on the show the other day, and he was saying there's over 1,000 different Indian nations and languages in America.
Yeah, that
a
makes
thousand.
Sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and that 80% of us have Indian blood in our veins, because really and truly, that was the only place to run during slavery days to escape. But
yeah.
in any event, there's a whole bunch of things going on now, and at the same time, have you spoken to Victor Kolbinskas lately? Cause, you
Victor
know,
called me quite a while ago about a project he's fixing to do this
uh-huh.
coming spring. Yep.
I see, because I know I've had a hard time reaching him lately. I think he's in Hawaii now.
Oh, I didn't have no idea.
He was in Costa Rica for a while.
Yeah, I thought he was still there. You know, I didn't know.
Well,
yeah.
I think he moved, and I think he's in Hawaii. Well, you know,
okay.
he's always moving around. He
yeah, always, always.
He doesn't stay still for 10 minutes. I think I've
yeah,
been.
Yeah, he was in the forefront of that whole movement, wasn't he?
Yeah, man. He really used to take it around. First I met him, he was in Connecticut, and then he moved down.
With Ann Wigmore.
Yeah,
Ann
right.
Wigmore.
Ann Wigmore. Oh, she's not still alive, is she?
No, she died.
Yeah, right. But I know that book that you wrote the introduction to, that was our bestseller.
Yeah.
Survival
so.
In the 21st Century.
Yeah.
And it came out 40 years ago, and it's still just
still
as good today as it ever was. Yes, Lord, that was a beautiful book.
And the other one he had, Love Your Body.
Yep.
Love
Your
Body. Well,
you
know, he was putting books out in Harlem. There was a time that there was books that white folks, I mean, if you was the real white folks,
right.
but they're just ordinary white folks. See, white ain't never been a color, it's an attitude.
Right.
If you ain't got billions of bucks in the bank that you don't need, you can't have the attitude.
Right.
And so when they white folks was out looking for the Committee of 300 and Behold the Pale Horse, many of them, they had to come to the black community, to the bookstore.
Yep. Yep.
And so when I started going into Harlem and coming into Harlem, I didn't go up there to see jazz. I was going to go to the Mashaw's bookstore and sit and listen to the real philosophers. And then here you are.
Yep.
And then the books. And I used to come to your place, man, and buy me $2,000 and $3,000 books every day.
That's
ship
right.
To the
you
house.
Bought all of Otema's books, and he
yep.
had 43 books out.
Yep.
And that was some very heavy information. Now, the interesting thing I found about Otema, he even admitted in his book that he didn't actually write any of those books. He got it all from the Akashic Records.
Oh, yeah, and he told you then, don't try to write him. Don't write him, because he ain't writing you back.
Yeah.
Don't give me the credit for it. Just go out and breathe.
And I tried to find out where he was living. Would you believe it? He was living in a little place down in Florida, and 5 miles from his little place in Florida, he was living in Sebring, Florida. And 5 miles from there was a town called Harlem, Florida.
Wow. That incredible.
Yeah, isn't that incredible?
Yes.
I went down there trying to find him, but he had passed on. I think he died in 1972 or something.
Oh, he did, yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, what a spirit he was.
Really. See, but we really know there is no death. The physical body dies, but the God self never dies. So who knows, he may even come back and join us again as we begin to enter into the age of Aquarius.
Yeah, they got all kinds of things for death. But
yeah,
like I told my children, I got me a little lightweight insurance policy. I said, but whenever I leave, don't tell them I transitioned because they don't pay for that.
Yeah, right.
I died.
Hey, what really blows my mind about talking to you now is it seems just like day before yesterday that we were doing all those things together, and that's been more than 50 years ago. You must be going on about 80 years old now, right?
Yep.
Isn't that amazing? And I'm 84, and I can't believe it because I don't feel 84.
No, you're not supposed to. The only way
I'm supposed
to know how old you are is by how strong and how wise you are.
I heard that.
You know, that's about.
Yeah. But in any event, we know that a new day is coming. Have you had a chance to listen to those, videos about the divine cosmos? And
no, I've been traveling since I left you. Dr. E. Faye Williams, she was telling me the other day she punched them up and was looking at them. But when I get back in, I don't own a computer. I patterned my life after Queen Elizabeth. When she learned how to type, I'm going to learn how to type.
I heard that.
But you can feel, when you was telling me about it, I could feel the energy, man.
This guy has got some information now, and he's the reincarnation of Edgar Casey.
Yep, and
Edgar Casey.
Have you been to Ed Casey Museum down in Virginia?
Yeah, Virginia Beach. That's right where it's at.
I went
down there and checked out all this stuff. I spent the whole weekend down there. He's got hundreds and hundreds of records. As because when Edgar Casey went to sleep, he could actually dream up on how to heal any disease. So that's what he has all those records down there. But this guy is the reincarnation of him, and he looks exactly like him. And his Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, and Mars are in the same sign that Edgar Casey's was. Ain't that something?
Incredible.
So I believe this guy has all the knowledge that Edgar Casey had, plus the information that he's been gathering himself. This guy is a serious student, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually examined 10,000 different PhD theses proving the things that he's talking about in his book.
Mm. Wow.
That really blew my mind because I'm always one to like to check on things.
Mm-hmm.
So he has the notes in the back of his book. There are over 1,000 of them, and each one of them has a website that you can check out on. If you had the time to do that, you would have an encyclopedia of knowledge that no college could even compare to.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense, sure.
Yeah, yeah. See, because as he says, we're coming into the confluence of two great astronomical cycles, one of which is the precession of the equinoxes, which only occurs once every 5,000 years or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is the photon belt cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So we're coming into on next year in December, and it's all starting to happen already. We're coming into an opportunity where mankind is going to regain the powers that we've lost through the wrong diet and all kinds of killings and wars and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and manipulations. I mean, we didn't go out to eat bad. That's all they gave you.
Right.
And like now, all the chemicals and additives in the food, and if you're lucky, you can go out and get organic. But how do you know it's organic? You know,
right.
you go
even
to Whole Foods.
Even their organic is messed up. Yeah,
yeah,
you're right.
You go
but
to Whole
listen,
Foods. Whole
thing,
Foods is Whole Foods is owned by Staples.
Exactly.
You can't go to Staples and get an organic notebook. So when you go give me an organic turnip.
The heavy thing is, he says all of these so-called elite, their day is over. You haven't had a chance to read that yet, but he says that in August of this year, you see, what he says is that these people, like the Bushes and all the Reagans and all those people, the Kissingers and all them people, he says they have gone out and built underground bases to protect themselves after they declare an atomic war on the Earth to try to wipe out 90% of the population.
Yeah, Kissinger gave them a code name. They were called Useless Eaters.
Yeah, right.
It's a clever name because when a cop or a school teacher or a PhD read that, They're not aware that Kissinger is talking about them.
Yeah, there is. And they had plans to get rid of 90% of the population of the earth. Now, that,
yep.
But see, that's the interesting thing that my friend David Wilcox says. They have now set up a team of people that are at war with all these people that are doing those things, and they actually blew up two of their underground cities last August.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like an earthquake going off, but they've actually blown up because they had $5 trillion worth of materials that they built under the ground for the last 40 years. And they say they've already destroyed two of them, and one of the heaviest clubs that secret societies they have are the Bilderbergs.
Yep.
And they got the Bilderbergs scared to death now because the last time they met, they were afraid that they were going to be arrested and put on trial.
Yep.
So kinds of things are fixing to happen.
Yeah, so you must really understand where we're going. You see, there's a universal order
exactly.
that made men, and men made kings. There's a universal
exactly.
order that made women, and men made queens. The difference
right.
between a man and a king and a woman and a queen is the way you wrap the gift.
Amen.
And so now the gift is going to be unwrapped, and then all you're going to be able to see is just humankind. A
right.
woman for what she was, not no beautiful woman or hip woman or big thighs and all of that, just
mm-hmm.
that one human, that
mm-hmm.
one mass of human intelligence.
That's it.
And so that's where we're going. And the
yeah,
people
if
who...
we're smart, we'll try to get a woman like that when we get married rather than checking a woman out for her outer beauty. You need to check a woman out for her inner beauty.
Yeah, well, see, all of that is what the new order is like. You
exactly.
know? I mean, Coca-Cola don't spend $1 billion every year advertising. Just for this, it worked. They know.
Yeah.
They know more about the human mind and the human conscience than most folks.
That's
they
why they
know,
made the first Coca-Cola book like a woman's body.
Yep.
That's what they did, and they did that on purpose too.
Yeah.
But in any event. These changes are coming right now. And tell me a little bit about, for example, I know that you were heavily involved into when you bought a home. You bought, I think, the old Wrigley estate, did you?
The Liggett Myers estate.
Liggett, oh, okay. I knew it was one of those.
I used to smoke 4 packs of cigarettes a day, so they should have gave me that for free.
To the discount, yeah, right. But what happened to that? Because I think I came out to visit you once. Wasn't there a beautiful lake out there on that?
Oh, yeah. It was Long Pond Road. And the
uh-huh.
pond, the pond was like 1,000 feet down.
Yeah, it was
and
a serious
it was
pond. It wasn't
400
a
acres.
Pond.
What a wonderful place to raise your children. When I got there, they had like 5 houses and 20 horses, and I called the Humane Society and said, somebody need to come get rid of these horses. So my children, we want us to, look, y'all let plants die in the house with you. I know y'all not coming out here feeding no horses. Get them horses off this land.
Yeah, so what happened to that estate? Do you still own it?
Oh, no. After all the children left and went to school and then come back, there was no
mm-hmm.
need in me having it after that.
I see.
It's a nice place to raise children on 400 acres,
right.
just ripping and running and having fun.
Yeah, that was a beautiful place. I remember
It was.
I spent a weekend down there with you, and I woke up and looked out at that beautiful, quiet pond out there and the trees all around. I said, man, this is not hard to take. And so, like I say, I just felt so much connected to you because every time I turn around, we were doing something together. I remember when you were the main speaker at the Whole Life Expo. Remember that day?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yes, Lordy. And I think I must have attended maybe 3 or 4 at least of those Whole Life Expos when you were the main speaker.
Yeah. No, that seemed like a long time ago when you look and see where that whole industry is going now.
Yeah. But I did go to one this past June at the New Yorker Hotel. They had what they call a New Life Expo based on raw food.
Yes.
Yeah, that was very interesting. So I had a chance to say my little 2 words. And, and met a whole gang of people that used to come to the Tree of Life.
Yes, wow, is that beautiful. Well, you know, Coretta Scott King, the late Coretta Scott King, you know, the last 12 years of her life, she ate nothing but raw food.
Is that right?
No cooked food at all.
I didn't know that.
But you see, she died from, you see, it's when you stop and think about death and what people go through, it was
uh-huh.
death, and some people can't let it go, you know.
Right.
And grief is a violation of the universe.
Right.
I mean, we think grief shows endearment, how much, you know. But I used to hear the old black women saying, girl, she's just grieving herself to death. And
uh-huh.
and so, you know, more people in America die from lung cancer from grief than lung cancer from smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, well, see, one of the problems was that they've taken out of the books the information about the fact that the soul really never dies. And so the whole science of reincarnation was taken out of the Bible in 552 A.D. So people, when they lose a loved one, think that they're gone and dead and gone forever. They're not.
Sure.
They're going to rest up a while and come right back.
Yep.
But they took that away, see? And I was trying to sell. See, I had a near-death experience once. I don't know if I ever told you about that.
Mm-hmm.
I was
yep.
on my way back to McGill University in Montreal.
Yeah.
I was driving there from Cleveland, and I ran into a truck, and the truck won. And I was thrown out under the wheels of the truck, and they thought that I was finished, you know. But I didn't feel any pain at all.
Wow.
All I saw was a big river, and on the other side of the river was an island, and the children were singing and dancing, and birds were flying around there. And, boy, I said, I sure like to go over there. And the minute I said that, a man got on a little boat, a skiff, where you stand up and pole yourself across.
Yeah.
He pulled himself over to pick me up. And just as I was about to get in the boat, a voice came behind me and said, no, my son, you must go back.
Mm.
You have work to do.
Wow.
And I woke up and I had a 10-day growth of beard on my face. And they said that's what I had, a near-death experience.
Wow.
Since that date, I have never had any fear of death at all. Death is illusion. You do not die.
Yeah.
And so if Sister King, Coretta Scott King, had known that, she wouldn't have had to bother to grieve. You know, because I even interviewed on my radio show here not long ago a woman whose son had died when he was 17 years old, and she was grieving like that for many years until she ran into a psychic that put her in touch with her son. Her son's name was Matthew, and he said, Mama, I'm not dead. I'm busy here. I'm greeting people coming over here from the world and helping them to understand and get them settled down. So he says, there is no death, only a change of worlds. And now he's been sending her letters from heaven for the last 15 years, and you can pick them up on the computer. Matthew's letters. It's very heavy information.
That's beautiful.
He's even telling her about things that are happening right on the earth today. So it's a very interesting when people begin to find out that, you know, all
your
parents and your friends and your relatives and, you know, Malcolm X and Martin Luther King and Michael Jackson, all these people, they're not dead. They're only resting.
Mm-hmm.
A little while, a moment of rest upon the wind, and another woman will bear them. Isn't that interesting to know that?
I love it, too.
Yeah, yeah. So as I'm saying, we're coming into a whole brand new day now, and I'm sure that you, as being the father of 10 children, must have looked down at some of those newborn babies and were looking in astonishment to see how powerful that energy coming from them new babies was.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's all of us. It was just they got you so busy playing the rent game and believing that everything you get, you have to work for and earn. I was born with it. This planet's
right.
mine. It's
yeah.
yours.
Exactly.
It ain't no more mine than it is yours. It ain't no more yours
exactly.
than it is mine. Except I know
exactly.
it's mine.
Exactly.
So no, and that's where we're going now, to the whole
yeah.
the whole place of kindness and peace. It ain't about love. It's can you be lovable?
Right.
And
by the way, have you had a chance to read that book I sent you yet?
The one? Oh, no.
I've been
you know, I've been ripping out. I'm on planes every day, man.
Where you been going?
Huh?
Where you been going?
All over. Well, see, we got a big thing going now. I've spent a lot of my time now with the underserved people. With the British Petroleum put out of work, and we hear about the Gulf, and we hear about the people being paying off, but the poor folks, the black folks, and the women. And when you talked to Dr. Ife Williams the other day,
she's one of the forces
in seeing to it. We've been to Britain and demonstrated in front of British Petroleum's headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
We've been to jail 3-4 times, demonstrating in front of the
recently.
Yeah, recently. Yeah. Well, I got a trial coming up next month.
Wow.
But a major corporation have never had a group of ordinary people who they can't kill. Okay,
mm-hmm.
you don't go to British Petroleum's headquarters unless you're invited.
Right.
And so this has been the fight, man. We have had times recently where we've been to 15 or 20 cities in 5 days, man.
Oh my goodness! Hey, by the way, hold your point there for a second because this is going so fast. I forgot to do a little station break here now. Folks, you're listening to the Tree of Life show on Rainbow Soul, and I am Brother Kanya, and if you ever want to call and say hello, my number is 404-753-5700, and we have Brother Dick Gregory, and I would suggest that you pull up his website. It's www.dickgregory.com, and there's a ton of information on there about him, and I think you'll be happy to see it, because as he's saying, he's done so many things there that he can hardly keep up with them himself. So you're doing all these. Are you traveling to different places in the country or out of the country?
Mainly in the Gulf area right now. You know, the Gulf never meant nothing to me, but where good shrimp came from, and then you realize all that human part, the people that's getting sick from all that the oil and all the poison and the pollutants that they use, and people. And then they denying that it's coming from that, you know. And so
you're talking about the Gulf of Mexico, right?
The Gulf
right
of Mexico, yeah. That's the largest environmental disaster we've had in America.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still leaking. It's still, you know.
Yeah. Speaking of the Gulf, would you believe I just looked up on, there's a website that's showing you what the world is going to look like in about another 15 or 20 years. And they say the whole thing is going to change now. I'm speaking about a brother by the name of David Icke, you know,
uh-huh.
And he's got information in on his website. And also there's another one that I was looking at, and they say that the whole of that area down where St. Louis is, you know,
yep.
the Mississippi River comes through there.
Right, yep.
And that's where the biggest earthquake in the North America occurred there a few years ago, right?
Yeah. And the reason it didn't get no play because it wasn't that populated.
Right.
But it came through there. That's it's so strong in certain places where the Mississippi River run upstream.
Exactly. Exactly
that,
right.
That came, but the biggest fault, not in California, comes out of Memphis, through
mm-hmm.
Arkansas,
mm-hmm.
through St. Louis, and all the way up into Iowa.
Right.
And the second largest fault is up New York.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know what they said? They said that it's quite possible that the glaciers are melting and causing all the coastlines to be flooded over, like California coastline.
Yeah, sure.
And they say that it's also a possibility that the Mississippi River will get flooded out and the Great Lakes will all combine to one and cause that whole thing it'll cause the America to split open.
Remember, when you got these glaciers that have been there for billions of years,
right.
And they start melting, you got to put that water somewhere.
Right. Yeah, so they showed a map on the website I looked at, and it's a whole of America is now three big islands. Now.
Oh, yeah. When what you're talking about, when that happened, Denver will be beachfront property.
That's it.
Not California.
That's right. That's right. And they say that the whole of the eastern United States is all going to be changed because all the people living along the east coast shorelines
Yeah.
They all got to move or die.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's all kind of things. By the way, I was just looking at this book. When you get a chance, I think you're going to find it to be very interesting, because he has a preface to this book. I'm talking about the preface to the book that my friend David Wilcock has written. And it's called The Source Field Investigations. And as I mentioned, he's already spent hours and days and months and years researching all this information. And his preface to the book, he calls it A Future Beyond Our Wildest Dreams.
I love it.
Yeah, let me read a little of it to you, because
please.
It blew
my
mind.
And before you do that, the people who's listening to you, if they want that book, what's the best way they can get it?
Well, they can get it right from the Tree of Life bookstore, and I'm right here at 1701 ML King Drive, Atlanta, Georgia. But I tell you what you do. Have anybody listening to Google my name. That's Kanya, K-A-N-Y-A, McGhee, M-C-G-H-E-E. And if you Google it, you'll find out everything we've been doing for the last 50 years. It blew my mind. Somebody told me, hey, man, put your name in the search engine and see what you come. They got so everything I've done for the last 50 years is on the Internet.
I love it.
So if anybody wants the book, all they got to do is they can call me, write me, email me, and we'd be happy to share it to you. But it's one of the most fascinating books I've ever read in my life. Now, and I've read about 10,000 books now.
Mm-hmm.
You know? The reason why it's so fascinating, because all the things he says, he gives you proof. He's got 10,000 URLs. Websites where you can, and he says half of these have been discovered and written about in Russia. He says Russia is so far ahead of us in psychic things, it's not even funny. So that's what's so heavy. But let me read a little bit of this, just a little couple words here.
Yeah.
He says, since the dawn of self-awareness on the earth, we have been inexorably driven to ask the big questions. Who am I? Where did I come from? How did I get here? And where am I going? Various teachers have come along who claim to have the answers, and the differences of opinion on these overwhelmingly profound concepts have led to many of the greatest sorrows and atrocities in recorded history. Nevertheless, consistent themes emerge in almost all spiritual traditions, including the idea that the universe is not made up of dead and inert matter, but rather a living, conscious being. This superintelligence, we are told, has woven the strands of space, time, energy, matter, biology, and consciousness together in its own image.
Wow.
Despite the vastness of the universe, we all apparently have a personal connection to this majestic entity, and we will live on long past the death of our physical bodies.
Wow.
Ain't that heavy, man?
That's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. So he goes on, and he's telling us now, as we approach 2012, that we will soon be coming to the Garden of Eden. A golden age is waiting for us. And as soon as they finish wiping out all these guys that are trying to take up all the money and take up all the property and kill up all the people. See, they got to go. We're even getting help from extraterrestrials. I don't know how what you feel about extraterrestrials, brother, but they're right here on the earth.
Always have been.
Yeah.
Always have been. Only an arrogant mentality of white supremacy is stupid enough to believe in this entire universe. We the only ones. Please, give me a break.
There are billions of galaxies out there, and the galaxies have solar systems in them, and the solar system's got planets going around them, and we've already been to many of them now that they haven't told people about, so that's why we recommend that people get to their computer and type in, you know, what is the universe? What is our solar system? Are there any planets out there? Are there any life structures out there?
Yeah.
And Dave had them right here on the earth. You probably heard about 1947 when a flying saucer landed out there in Arizona and they didn't want to tell people about it.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. So all kind of funny things are happening now. So we're
we're arrogant enough to send exploratory research up to land on Mars and Pluto
right.
to see if they can find water. What make you think somebody on another planet needs to drink water? This is when you self-center and look at the whole universe like it have to be like you. See, that's where, and the reason they can never admit unidentified UFOs and stuff, because if they admitted it, white supremacy would go out the window.
Well, it's gone now, brother.
Organized religion will go out the window.
Amen.
You know, and then we'd become Earthlings. We'd be Earth people. Wouldn't be no such thing as Atlanta or Chicago or New York or Washington or Africa or Asia. We'd be just Earth folks.
Well, that's definitely what's coming. So we want to recommend everybody to have a chance to check some of these things out. The book that I'm talking about is The Source Field Investigations, The Overview, and the website for that is www.divinecosmos.com. Divinecosmos.com. D-I-V-I-N-E dot cosmos. Divinecosmos.com. And that is actually a 2-hour video where he is actually explaining to you all the different things that he's talking about here now. And when he talks like he's an encyclopedia, but he makes it so you can understand what he's saying. Now, the other videos you can pick up is what you call 2012 Enigma. Write that down. Go in your search engine. Put the 2012 Enigma, E-N-I-G-M-A, Enigma. And he's got 10 different videos explaining each of the various different principles that he's talking about right
mm-hmm.
now. And Expo video number 7 is the one that blew my mind, because he is really laying it out there quite clearly how this world that we're coming into is going to be so different in the next few years that we won't even know what we're talking about. That's why he says it'll be beyond our wild.
Yep.
See, because he's talking about DNA. You know, we
yep.
have strands of DNA that don't work in the average person. We only have 2 or 3 strands of DNA that are operative in the average human being, yet there are 13 strands that are waiting there for you to use. We have the capacity to levitate, just like the people that built the pyramid, they
mm-hmm.
levitated those stones, right? We
yeah.
got the power to astral travel. We got the power to communicate by telepathy.
Yep.
See, when you communicate by telepathy, it doesn't matter which language you speak. And even though they got 1,000 different languages here in America from the Native Americans, you can communicate with them telepathically, and you don't need that to know all those languages.
Right, yes.
Oh, so we're coming across into a super beautiful world, and especially these young children being born now, the indigo children. I'm sure you must have 1 or 2 of them yourself.
The indigo, I got 2 that I know is indigos, and 1 that I know is a crystal child, and then starting
all
next
right.
year, the 5th child.
Yeah, talk
in.
About that for a minute, because when I tell people that, they think I'm kidding them.
Well, they have to think you're kidding them, because they've been pushed over to one part of the thing. You see, one of the things is when you've been blessed enough to wear the magic glasses, you must remember that your mother didn't have magic glasses. And once you wear them, you can't take them off. But you cannot get people to see what you see because they've got a different set of glasses on.
Yeah,
and so,
like,
but they'll feel things. The
like
way
Alice
you can,
in Wonderland, yeah.
Yeah, you transfer it with love, mm-hmm. with kindness, with gentleness. And then people say, yeah, I don't understand it, but he's just so nice and kind. And she's so nice. I just took her word for it.
Right,
you know?
So tell me what one of your crystal children or one of your indigo children, what do they do that really blows your mind?
Well, one of them called me. She's 6 years old. She said, Granddad, I need to talk to you about my mother, which is your daughter.
Uh-huh.
So I said, how long she been crazy? I said, how old are you? She said, I'm 6 years old. I said, well, you can't claim that you was crazy long before you was born. I said, come on, I got a plane to catch. What's on your mind? She said, well, she told once me and my brothers and sisters to say please and yes, sir, and no, sir, and thank you. And I told her, I'm going to call Granddad. I said, no, don't nobody say please and thanks but strange folks. I said, Jesus Christ never said please or thanks. There's nowhere in the Christian Bible where God says, say thanks. It says humble yourself. Hmm? Humbility. I can say thanks to you and blow your car up. The mob say thanks all the time and kill you 5 minutes later. But humbility don't work like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, you go to the bank. That's you write a check for $1,500. That's your $1,500 you pulling out. And yet you say thanks to the teller. That's your money.
What possessed her to ask a question like that? What was she trying to find out?
Well, she just felt something. She just felt that, you know, somebody's telling me something wrong. But that's the indigo child. The indigo child.
Yeah, I know. But they blow my mind.
They're born with IQs of 200 and go up. That's why,
yeah.
You know, all the, and most of them, you know, they have them drugged out. They think something wrong with them. They think they have some deficiency in something. So the doctors don't understand it. And social workers, so they end up putting them on drugs and all kinds of things. I had one of my grandchildren, was indigo. We were in the car, and he said, "Granddad, you hear that train?" And I said, no. And so we kept talking, and 30 minutes later, hear that train go,
whoosh.
Uh-oh. Yes,
Lord.
There it goes. I said, you
heard
it way down there? It
makes your hearing so acute. That's right.
Yeah. So when he gets in the car with his mother or grandmother, and they go, so they have to let the windows down and take
mm-hmm.
off real slow, or he got
mm-hmm.
to get out because it irritates his ears. That's how sensitive he is to motion. And I'm sure there's children, you know, all over the planet that's going to be coming up with new inventions and new things, because the inventions
yeah.
is already here. You know how many people
yeah.
got out of jail or death row because of DNA?
Right.
DNA didn't just get here. DNA was here day one. We just got to the point where we can understand it.
Right.
So anyway.
So there's a new world coming, no question about it. And now you say you had one of your children was a indigo, and another one was crystal, right?
Crystal, tell
the people what a crystal child is like.
Well, the crystal is just another level. They don't eat nothing with chemicals in it. They don't eat nothing cooked. Would rather have fruit. And they don't put nothing on nothing. They don't eat two things together. You can't put them a plate of food down and expect them to eat some of this and some to eat one thing at a time. And so they just
they're
born.
They're psychic too, aren't they? Aren't they kind of psychic?
Yeah,
the
but
crystal
they're traveling most of the time. You'd have to ask my wife about that. They know everything, but I'm not with them that much. Huh?
Oh, I see. I got
I got one that lives
these
here.
These are your grandchildren.
Out,
that's right.
When he was 6 years old, he was saying, "Granddad, let me show you this computer. Let me show you this computer. Let me show you what we're going to do, you know."
Yeah.
He came into me one day, man. He was like 6 years old. And he said, "Granddad, me and my father, we're going to go and blow up the Lincoln, the Jefferson Memorial."
What?
And he in Washington, D.C., so I said to him, I said, "No, you better go by yourself, because if your father go with you, they're going to put him in jail." So then I said, "Why are you going to blow it up?" He said, "Because he don't like black people."
Oh, my Lord.
Now, wait a minute, he's 6 years old, right? So
I hear you.
I was running to the airport, so I got back a week later, and then I saw my son, which is his father. And I said, "Man, let me tell you what your son told me." And I said, "Where did he get that from?" He said, "We go over there, and we rent paddle boats, and we go paddling on the Potomac."
Mm-hmm.
And so I showed him the Jefferson Memorial, and I told him that he owned slaves. That's all he told him.
Mm.
He didn't tell him he didn't like black folks. And so he decided we're going to blow it up. Now, let me tell you what's important about that.
Okay.
By the time I found out Thomas Jefferson owned slaves,
mm-hmm.
I had already been brainwashed with the good stuff they want me to know about him.
Right.
So here's my grandson. He don't know nothing good or bad about him.
Mm-hmm.
Until his father told him he owned slaves. So there's nothing you will ever be able to tell him about this great man, one of the fathers of the Constitution and all of that. That's up to, and so it's those type of things that you hear.
Yeah.
You know, one day we're going to understand a tomboy is a tough girl, right?
Mm-hmm.
A tomcat is a tough cat. So why, when it comes my turn to be Tom, Uncle Tom, I'm weak? Uncle Tom is the shapeshifters.
Mm-hmm.
The French called it voodoo. And they got you believing that voodoo is negative. Voodoo is a French word, means spiritual atom. You can't see a spirit and you can't see an atom. And that's voodoo. And so consequently, when Harriet Beecher Stowe wrote the book, Uncle Tom's Cabin, that's about shape-shifting, man. Do you realize that book, Uncle Tom's Cabin, was put into a play, and there had never been to this day as many companies around the world doing Uncle Tom's Cabin. And when they got to Cheyenne, the king of Cheyenne, looked at it and said, wow, let's do a musical. And he put the money up, and that's known as The King and I. That's Uncle Tom's Cabin. Yul Brynner, that's all with, and then this year on Broadway, the play that won more Tonys than anyone was called The Book of Mormons. That's Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Heavy.
The whole thing is changing, and you know, 500 years ago, in Colombia, they scratched on the wall in hieroglyphics. And so about 75 years ago, some Americans was in the cave, scientists, and they wrote the hieroglyphics down. They didn't know what it meant, and then they came and kept working until they could crack the code. And this was 500 years they put it up, and it said, white man, one day the white lady going to do to your children what you've done to ours. And back then, cocaine wasn't called the white lady.
Yes, right. Heavy. Hey, by the way, I got to take another station break now because.
Now, wait a minute. How long? I got a train I got to catch.
Okay. Yeah. It's 10 o'clock now. How much longer can you stay on the air with us?
Well, I'm going to get ready to run and get. I got 11 o'clock train, but I got to get pack up and run.
Okay. Well, give me five more minutes.
Oh, you got that. No, that's no problem. No problem.
Okay. All right. Now, because I know that at one point you were working with the Hughes Radio One. And I've been trying to get on that show for the last 10 years now. Are you still connected with her?
No, I do radio shows all over the world like yours, but no, I used to do a show with her.
I know,
yeah.
I know. So in any event, you also did, weren't you doing something with, what's that brother's name that is telling you about all kind of stuff that's going on now? I'm trying to think what his name is. He's the guy that tells you all the stuff that they want to keep hidden away from you. And I think you were on a couple of shows with him. Alex Jones, wasn't it?
Alex Jones.
So give me your reading on him, because I've heard all kind of different things about him.
Well, he comes out of a right-wing bag, but it's a right-winger that tell you about the assassination of King and all of that. The right-winger was out there. It was the one talking about additives and chemicals in the food.
Yes, boy. And he was talking about 9/11 too. And
yeah.
We also just had December the 7th was yesterday, and nobody tells you about the real story about December the 7th because that's when Roosevelt and Churchill got together and planned to have the Japanese blow up Pearl Harbor so they could declare war on Hitler.
Yeah, well, the whole thing is when the FBI cracked the Japanese blue code. That,
right.
That was one of the, and they cracked that 18 months before Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
And so they knew the date 6 months before Pearl Harbor.
Exactly.
That they were going to be attacked December the 7th, 1941. We all knew
right.
that. I mean, the American knew that. So.
Right, sure.
But, you know, when you're dealing with an evil nation and evil people, and they play that off if it's right, then what are we talking about, you know?
Yeah, well, that's the thing that has to end now because – really and truly, we have to base our whole lifestyle on ethical realities, understanding the law of karma. When you send things out negative, it's going to come back on you. And also we have the capacity now. This is what my friend David Wilcox says. He says we have the capacity now to cure all the problems, feed all the hungry.
Sure, but now you think Wilcox knows something that the Rockefellers know? They don't care.
Yeah,
well,
I know.
They know it.
But see, the Rockefellers are on their way out.
They've been building cities in outer space since 1963. I'm not talking about way. I'm talking about right above the planet Earth. Okay, they built the elevator and the rod to go up. You know, Queen Elizabeth ain't planning on getting in no rocket, but they don't know it's not gonna work. They don't know.
Right.
They don't know it's over.
Hey, speaking of getting over, you know, this is the birthday of Nikola Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
And Nikola Tesla was one of the most fantastic inventors that the world has ever known. And what happened when he died is the federal government went and took all of his inventions and made all these crazy things that we're using up now in a negative fashion. And he was giving free energy to the world 100 years ago.
Man, let me tell you, Tesla did an experiment in his Manhattan apartment.
Mm-hmm.
He called the earthquake.
Right.
That's where Tesla was, man. So, but he and Einstein worked for General Electric.
Yeah.
And one day,
Edison messed him up because he wouldn't pay Tesla what he agreed to, thinking that he was, you know, just a sucker.
Yeah. Well, when Tesla came to work one day, the head of General Electric gave him a package that to take about 3 hours off and go down to the lunchroom and read this. So he read it. It was Einstein's theories. So then he came back. He said, "What do you think?" He said, "I need to run to my farm and pick up something and bring it back." So he said, "Sure." So he brought it back and he gave it to him. He said, "What is it?" He said, "That what you gave me from Einstein about how you split atom." He said, "I developed that theory 45 years ago, and I just put it under wraps because whoever split that atom will mess with the rods in the earth."
Oh, boy.
And that's where we are now.
Yeah, he had an invention that he could split the earth in two. And, of course, he was working for a while with J.P. Morgan, but, see, J.P. Morgan put him down when he found out that Tesla could supply free energy to the world. And J.P. Morgan said, "No, we ain't giving nothing away free like that." So that's when they cut him off.
Well, he's the one that invented alternating currents.
Exactly. Lit up the whole Chicago Expo with it.
Yeah, but he just, all his life, all he wanted to do was just get to America so he could go to Niagara Falls. And he knew once he saw that, he would be able to change things.
Oh, yeah. By the way, his name is, for those of you who really need to look him up, is Nikola, Nikola Tesla, Tesla. Please look him up. And if you have any of your children in school or high school and they're bored to death, if you just check his name out, you'll keep them entertained for the last 20 years. That man has invented so many beautiful things.
I will
say one more thing, because I know you got to go, is, are you familiar with that super brother from South Africa called Credo Mutwa?
Yes, uh-huh.
Oh, what do you know about him?
I have to go back into my bag. Now, it's been so long.
Oh, I see. Okay, I thought you had something right up. See, because I was over in South Africa, and I was scheduled to meet him.
Right.
And what happened was he has so much information that they don't want people to know that they had actually tried to poison him, and so he had to be taken by helicopter away to the hospital, and I never got to meet him, but I met his grandson.
Mm-hmm.
But for those of you that need another thing to look up, check out Credo, Credo Mutwa, Mutwa. He is a superman. He is the man that, David Icke said was the most intelligent man that he ever met in his life, and he interviewed him on a video for six different videos. So you can pull that up on your computer. For those of you that have a computer, check out Credo Mutwa's videos, and it'll blow your mind because he's talking about the same things that David Wilcock is talking about. You see? All these various different, they found out that the third eye looks like a pine cone, right? And he describes the fact that in the Vatican is the court of the pine cone, where they got a pine cone there 25 feet high. And it really relates to your third eye, which is the key to your regaining all of your powers again. And that's what's happening now. See, that's why milk is bad for you and meat is bad for you, because it calcifies your pineal gland and makes it so it doesn't work. So what I'm telling people to do, please get some information. There's a beautiful book out called The Finding of the Third Eye, which is your pineal gland. And then you can even look on the dollar bill, and they have the pyramids. The all-seeing eye on the top of the pyramid also relates to the pineal gland. But check out all these things for yourself, my friends and listeners.
I've been looking for that book. Make sure and send that book to me, would you? The Finding of the Third Eye.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I'll be happy to send it to you. It's beautiful.
Okay.
And it's simple, too. It's nothing complicated.
Yeah.
And the other book that I recommend highly is a book called The Kabbalion. I think you have that one, though, don't
yes,
you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because that gives you the seven basic laws of the universe, and one of which is that the planet Saturn, when it goes around once, erases all of your negative karma from your past life and gives you a chance to start again.
I love that.
That happened to you in 1961. Can you think of anything that happened to you in 1961 where you came to the fork in the road of life and made a major change in your life?
That's when I got real involved with the liberation movement.
Yeah, isn't that when you...
And that's when I took off as a comedian.
Yes, I thought so. And wasn't that when you first got introduced to... what's that brother's name that took you out in front of all those people? I'm trying to think.
Hefner?
Yeah, Hugh Hefner.
No, that
didn't
was
he introduce
yeah,
you
that
to?
Was, that was, yeah, that was Hefner. That's the first time that a Negro comic was permitted to work a white nightclub.
Right.
Up
and that was
then.
In 1961, and that was when you were coming to the fork in the road of life, and that made a major change in your life because that allowed you to get out there to the greater public. You see, so I'm trying to tell people, if you begin to understand the power of understanding your own life cycles, it's going to make a major change in your life.
So now you owe me two books, that one and the other one you just mentioned. I gave that to John Lennon many years ago.
Yeah, all right. Let me repeat them again then. You're talking about The Finding of the Third Eye.
Yep.
And the other one was the Credo Mutwa book, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Because he actually... He's a Zulu shaman.
Oh, you mean, no, that's three. The one you mentioned just a little while ago. You said I had, but I gave it to John Lennon.
Let me see, which one was that? The Finding of the Third Eye, the Credo Mutwa book, and the third one was the Kabbalion.
Kabbalion, yes.
Is that the one you want?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, no problem.
And just
okay,
put a receipt
and at the
in
same
that
time, is there anything else you want to say? I know you got to go catch this train. We don't want to keep you all night long. But why don't you try to sum up all your whole life in the next 5 seconds?
It's just been fun. It's been interesting.
You know, what would you say to the people that are listening to our show now that would be important for them to work around? I know diet is one of them.
First, it's just real simple. The universe... When it puts you here, you are unique. And all you have to do is live up to your importance. You are important. Live up to it. Never before in the history of the planet have there been a you. There will never be another you. There's never been two snowflakes at the same. There's never been two leaves on the tree the same. And so once you understand that you was born unique. Think about all the people on the planet and been on the planet. There's never been another you. There'll never be another you. So when you understand how special you are and how important you are, then go to bed and not reduce down to you some insignificant nothing. I really believe if you could swing off this planet and swing way out into the universe and look down into the universe, you'd see something look just like you, because we are the universe.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay, my brother.
All right. Well, listen, are there any things that you're doing now that people can attend to or go to?
The next thing I'm doing is a private dinner. That's tomorrow in Hartford, Connecticut.
Hartford, Connecticut.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we won't try to find out everything, but if people will look at your website, I think you have a lot of that on there, and that's dickgregory.com.
.com. Yes.
And you can get a lot of information off of that. And many thanks for appearing on our show, good brother.
Thank you.
And
my brother.
I'll get those book off to you right away.
Peace to you. Thank you. God bless.
Peace and love, and many blessings. Yes, and you've been listening to the Tree of Life show on Rainbow Soul. I am Brother Kanya, Sashaun McGee, and I invite you to Google my name, and you'll find out everything we've been doing for the past 50 years. That's K-A-N-Y-A, McGee, M-C-G-H-E-E. You can call me anytime. I never sleep, 404-753-5700. That's 404-753-5700, and we'll be happy to send you a list of all the books that we've been talking about here. And the other thing is, let me give you my email address, because you can email me at no cost to you, and that is drkanya999@gmail.com. That's drkanya999@gmail.com. So peace and love to you, and we want to thank the Rainbow Soul for letting us use their fantastic operation here on the radio. Peace and love and many blessings. This is Brother Kanya signing off.